a little bit of your story and why it is that you're taking this step of being baptized. And I should say as well that we're also joined by Sandra's husband, Chris, at the back. Welcome to you, Chris. So glad you're here this morning. And also Theodore there, their son, who is there at the back as well. And Aubrey, welcome to you. Sandra's cousin, who features in the story that we're about to hear and is going to help us in baptizing Sandra later on. A special welcome to you as well. So glad that you're with us. Over to you, Sandra. You ready?
I think so. Gotta be. How do you use this? Do you just speak into
hold
it?
Hold it closer than you think.
Closer than I think. Hi, everyone. Never done this before, so bear with me. Nerves might want to overwhelm me, but
you need to keep it in front of your mouth.
I will keep this in front. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
I'll just stay here.
Please. So, I'm Sandra Mitchell-Moore, married to Chris Mitchell-Moore at the back there. I am Ugandan by birth. Don't know if there's any Ugandans here. We're unicorns in this world. But born into a Christian family. I had infant baptism and had my confirmation later on as a preteen in Uganda, as was largely expected in Uganda in the Anglican denomination. And I believe then that that was that. You see, I'm just going to pause there because that obviously was not that. That should not be that. So I'm just going to pause there. Whew. So my baptism and confirmation were not choices I had made on my own accord, not as a conviction or a result of my personal walk with God. Both events were arranged lovingly by my family to undergo as a Christian's rite of passage. So I classed myself as a Christian. But I wasn't a born-again Christian. It wasn't something that was preached in our church or Sunday school. When I was still quite young, my cousin, Aubrey, he always a UK resident. He traveled to Uganda. So Aubrey's an evangelist and still is. He traveled to Uganda to visit us in a small town called Soroti, east of the country. I think Andrew and Matthew Leach might have gone there. I don't know. Oh, Ben. Was it Ben? All right. Sorry. Yes. So very small town east of Uganda. So Aubrey came and it was always good to see him. He's such a dear cousin of mine. I knew he was a Christian, just like us, but there was something different about him. He had a freshness about his faith. He was genuinely passionate about Jesus. I had never experienced that before in a Christian. I was still young then, so obviously the world was yet to be discovered. Aubrey was bold, courageous, and faith-filled in his gentle, quiet way, which he still is. His earnest fervor was infectious. There was something that was more than he was presenting. To cut a long story short, he led me and some of my family members, including my late father, who passed away a couple of years ago. He led us to Christ, and we accepted Jesus as our personal savior. So Aubrey, I love you, and thank you. And here you are again, faithful, keeping in touch, and to baptize me. Yeah. So this is where we pause again, because there's a lapse of time between then and the walk, because the Christian life is a journey. It's not a turn the page and that's off we go. So time flies with its many different seasons. We got college, uni, first job, getting married, becoming a first-time mom, the joys of going back to work, with barely any sleep for years. So, oh yeah, I was always so sleep deprived, and yet no one cared. Life continued, apart from him, obviously, and God. So, in this rat race, I was exhausted, mind, body, and soul, in and out of work, permanently exhausted, literally, day in, day out. So the routines of a busy life sets in, inevitably, sink or swim. I was consistently living on autopilot and out of alignment with my core values, which is my faith. My faith is and should have always been my core value. So daily fellowship with God and being in the Word and His presence was no longer at the top of my priority list. Even as a born-again Christian, I confess that in the hectic pace of life, I had become dull of hearing. Those of you who were here last Sunday, Andrew passionately and compassionately preached about that. That really touched me. That's some of us, I speak for myself as a Christian, became dull of hearing and let the noise of the world take over and just keep on, you know, rolling forth and taking things for granted. My spiritual growth into maturity had become stunted, and I wasn't even aware. That is until the pandemic hit the world. What had been deemed as normal was no longer normal, and the routines of life interrupted. This was a dark and uncertain time where fear, anxiety, panic, terror became my new state of normal. When I was awake, it was a reality. When I was asleep, it was replaying in my dreams. Working in the lab at the hospital, where we received live samples that were obviously positive for COVID and amongst other things, I was right in the eye of the storm, and I felt it, I breathed it, I lived every moment. I was terrified for me and my family. My mental health inevitably suffered. I was just strained. It was during this difficult time that I was jolted out of my sleepwalk in life, the autopilot of just, oh, it's Monday again, oh, it's Friday, yay. So nothing was taken for granted anymore. But every cloud, every cloud has a silver lining. And to me, the silver lining of lockdown was that the busy rhythm of life had been interrupted, thankfully. I didn't know it then, but the fact that life became slower, quieter, even eerily just odd. Being in the countryside, I spent a lot of time out walking in beautiful nature. I just walked sometimes for up to 3 hours a day, just walking. Something so profoundly calming and healing about nature that draws peace out of me. I like peace. Don't know about you guys, but I do like peace. So being in nature has become addictive. Peace is the opposite of worry. So during the pandemic and the lockdown and all that, just being present in nature, my soul unfurled just like a flower, and praise and fellowship with God just flowed out of me. It was like there was always a seed that was planted within me waiting for me to stop. Like he had gone into hibernation until all the noise and the hustle and bustle just stopped. And then I was still and present to myself. Those of you who know that the verse, be still and know that I am God. My word, if you do get still, it's amazing what happens when you let that happen to you. So I was reminded that God was always with me, and that became addictive. So daily I surrendered to God, where I found my peace, my joy, and rest in him, despite the terror that and everything else that we were watching in the news and hearing and being in the hospital and seeing with our own eyes what was happening. That was my anchor to the light, to salvation or something. So up to now, this is my routine, time with me and God in nature. If I don't get it, it's like something's not right. So when I was out, I listened to the Bible. I listened to the audio Bible and Grace Sermon podcasts. Also now endeavor to daily live a full life of intention that always leads me to find my rest in God, that liberates me from myself and my anxiety and the what ifs and trying to rely on me. So finding my rest in God has been good. And clothed in his righteousness as his treasured beloved daughter, in whom I have access, full access into his loving grace and mercy forever and ever. So here's a question then. How did I come to this point of wanting to be baptized? I hear you ask. Okay. The gospel of grace. That's how. Thanks to my husband, Chris Mitchell Moore, who shared with me as soon as we got married, 10 years, 8 months and counting, he's been sharing the undiluted message of the gospel of grace of God. And this has been utterly liberating for me and changed every aspect of my life. This grace message is so good. It's revived my soul and I cannot get enough of it. It's my soul, as I said, has been in, I have felt in a state of hibernation and has finally discovered where all the nutrients, the life-giving nutrients, sunlight and water comes from. So since the lockdown, I took the opportunity to read books, listen to grace messages, sermons, I've already said, and something's happened to my Bible reading moments. Reading the Bible with grace tinted glass so has actually made Bible reading exciting. I haven't tried it with Leviticus, yeah, but it's actually made the Bible more live and the promises are real and I'm going deeper and deeper. And I would like to share with you how this grace message has saved me. Or liberated me. It's shown me how truly accepted I am and loved by God, just as I am. Just as I am. That means a lot to me, to my spiritual walk and as a person. That all my sins, even past, present, and future, have been washed away once and for all. That is also for my spiritual walk. I have found that just. It's like, what? Wow. This is good. And that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That when God sees me, he's not seeing my weak condition, my brokenness. He actually sees his own righteousness on me as I am on a good day or bad day. I am his righteousness. How empowering that has been for me. It's been healing for me, mind, body, and soul. I have his full focus. I am the apple. Literally, I feel so blessed to feel that I have his full attention. I am the apple of his eye. He's with me, for me, in me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the fact that he will never leave me. And he'll never forsake me. The that everything I could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in me. And by grasping that and actually trusting that, that God cannot lie. He is not a liar. So I am clinging on to that and saying, God is faithful and he has strengthened me. And my husband has seen what a totally different person I have been since the lockdown. I'm stronger. I'm full of life and vibrant. I intend to maintain my personal walk with God so that I may always be rooted and established in his love. Without this love, we're lost. We're looking for fake love from wherever, anywhere, and there's loads of it out there, but God's love is real. So I want to be rooted, established in his love for me, for my son, my husband, and for my brothers and sisters. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, daily, having fellowship with him, I believe this is possible. So I want to fully live the life that God said. Jesus said, I came to live the life, and that life to be lived to the full. I want a full life. I don't know what it's like to have a full, emotionally healthy, full, vibrant life and relationships. That's life. That's everything's full of life, from relationship to whether I'm broke or wealthy. It doesn't matter. I'm full with God because he's given me everything. I want to live that life for me while I'm still in this earth, to make a difference, to be that light in a dark world for his glory. So now Jesus, who was without sin, he got baptized. If it was good enough for him, it's good enough for this one. It's good enough for me. So, guys, thank you, Grace Church members, for giving me this amazing opportunity for getting me baptized. Thank you, Andrew Sampson, for your patience and support. And Aubrey, you come with your wife and two daughters, 7 hours drive yesterday for today, and they will be driving off again for 7 hours. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you. May God be glorified today. Amen.
Well done. We're going to pray briefly now for Sandra, then the children will go out and we'll pray some more for Sandra on the beach later on. But Father, we thank you and we give you glory for the way that you have led Sandra to yourself and how you have brought her to that realization that fullness of life is found in you. And we pray that in a sense today her experience would be like that of Jesus when he was baptized, that there would be an open heaven above this woman, that your spirit would descend on her anew, giving her fresh power, bringing yet more life into her life, that she would know in the core of her being that she is your beloved one, the apple of your eye, with whom you are well pleased, because she is clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And Sandra, just picking up from those words that you shared a moment ago there, words from a prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians 3. We make that our prayer for you now, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of us, to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. We make that our prayer for you today. Come and fill this woman again. Bring glory to your name through her life. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Children, it's time to go to your groups. And we've got a brief moment as they go out to their activities. Why don't you turn to someone sitting near you, perhaps someone you've not met previously, introduce yourself, and then Ben will come and speak to us in here.
Sorry? Acts, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Death and New Life. Is it on the other ear? Oh, there we go. Yeah. It feels like it's kind of clipped on, right. I'll just drop it down my back and then can you hear?